Okay, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25. This is Memorial Day weekend, so we want to recognize our veterans. If you're a veteran, would you stand? All right, give them a hand. We appreciate that. And then also, just my dad, his mom's 75th wedding anniversary would have been this past Thursday night. She'd lived, but that would have been their 75th. And was just talking about it, said, well, she's got the best anniversary present, being with the Lord. That one's the best. And so we were talking about that just the other night. And then also, I need to tell you folks before we get started in our text today is that I'm gaining a complex. The last time we got a new pulpit, Dr. Bloom preached in it first. This time, Brother Eggerdahl preached in it on Wednesday night, Dr. Bloom on Friday night. So I'm still getting a used pulpit every time I get up here. But we'll just carry on anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. There we read, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Now shall we pray. Father, we live in a day when government leaders push such anti-scriptural, and for that matter, unconstitutional programs that jeopardize our liberties and weaken our nation. And yet, after doing all these things, they'll close out a speech with, God bless America, our own country, as well as other nations of the world, do not seem to want to hear God's word to us today. They're snared by the works of their own hands, as well as the words of their own mouths. And I believe that we're headed for that terrible day of judgment. The wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd send revival in this country, whether it's just the smallest church with the newest pastor, or the oldest church with the oldest pastor, whether it's in Congress or wherever it may, in each state, may the Word of God be preached in the power of God, and this country would repent, and we would see things as they ought to be, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have a Memorial Day in which we remember those who gave their lives fighting for our country. I checked with the Noah Webster 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language. When reading your Bible, that is probably, without question, the best dictionary to reference when you're looking up definition of words, because the words in our King James Bible very well line up with those definitions in the way that they were translated. The dictionaries are very expensive, but well worth it dictionaries, printed by the Foundation for American Christian Education. But I want to share with you from that the words, some definitions of this word, memorial. It says, that which preserves the memory of something, anything that serves to keep in memory. And I just might add to that definition that it's good that we have Memorial Day to keep us in remembrance of the cost of our heritage and freedom. It's also a memory. It's also defined as a monument, the memorial of a deceased person or an event. Now, pay close attention to this. I'm still quoting from this dictionary. The Lord's Supper is a memorial of the death and sufferings of Christ. That is the greatest memorial of all time. Don't you wish our dictionaries would still get it right as they did then? A tombstone is a memorial. I remember going to Boot Hill in Tombstone, Arizona, many years ago, and we were looking at grave markers, and one said, "Here lies Les Moore, shot by a 44, no less, no more." And I thought that was pretty good. What a memorial. When I have a committal service at the cemetery where my mother's buried, I make sure I go by there and stand by the marker. And I'm glad that there is a marker there, because when she was first buried there and I would go by there, it was easy to find. Now there's been many in the 21 years since that have been buried around that area. And so it's a little harder to find. So I'm glad the name is there. And it's so good just to go there and stop and reflect. I think of men who gave their lives for this country in the wars of American history. I don't think any man, for example, Valley Forge, was thinking, "Oh boy, if we win, my children can become homosexuals and be taught in public schools sensitivity training so that this is a good and acceptable lifestyle and a desirable alternative." I just don't believe that they thought that. I don't think they died with the thought in their mind, "It'll be great to obtain this victory, and if I die shedding my blood, my child will learn that it's great trouble for him or her if they mention the name of Jesus Christ in their public school and their domain." Nor do I think they were hoping that one day homosexuals would have the freedom to spend the night with the other boys under the Boy Scout badge. And be protected from parents who might have a problem with that. For some reason, again, I just don't believe they thought that. As I look at the history of the United States, I believe that we see that there were different men that gave their lives for the country. And yet, they represented different homes, different families, different faiths. But with that thought in mind, every different church that is here in America has the freedom to worship. And those churches are standing there today as a memorial of the blood of those men who founded our nation. Consider the following, if you will, the first two amendments to the United States Constitution. The First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion, or the prohibition of the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of the speech, or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Isn't it interesting? They made sure that the church, the local church, had the freedom to worship and to spread their religion through the freedom of speech, even before they mentioned the freedom of the press. And let me also add on the other side of that coin. There's no right to assemble unpeaceably that would prevent any religion from interfering with another in their worship or their going out to witness. Listen, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, as you see go out on many times and come to your door. I wish we were as enthusiastic about our Savior as they go out. But let me say that they have that right to go out like that, and I don't want their right taken away. This freedom to assemble also guarantees that we can worship without worrying about somebody else coming in that doesn't like us and blowing us up. Actually, Christianity is the true religion of peace because our Savior, on whom this is found, teaches us to pray for our enemies and to seek to bring them to Christ. And just because they reject Him the first time, we don't quit praying for them and seeking to bring them to Christ. The Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, that sounds like a political statement to many, but to me, it is not. A man should be able to protect his own home as the Bible teaches us. The good man of the house is to protect his home. It's interesting to me that in the recent Boston shootout, you remember the police shooting out with those two young men? They got one, the other one got away. But some of the reports you don't read is that there were many bullets found in the trees and in the houses of those people around there where the shootout took place. These policemen have to go through training and they have to go back and do it over and over again, taking target practice and shooting practice. They didn't shoot the two men within six shots. One of them got away. Many, many bullets were fired. Now, they want you to have a gun that you have to either reload after each shot or cock it or something so that you cannot protect your home if you have more than one person coming in. And if you do have just one person coming in, you better get them on the first shot. God wants the man to protect his home. That is God's will. The preamble to the Declaration of Independence says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator. Boy, I wonder how many liberals go crazy over that. They actually refer to our Creator. And it wasn't a big bang. That we are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yes, our preamble to our Constitution does speak of Almighty God. We are created equal. It doesn't mean being equal in intellect or physical prowess or stature. But we're all equal as human in that we were created in the image of God. And we have the same rights as fellow countrymen. However, I believe God does gift people. I do believe in equal opportunity. I just don't believe in guaranteeing equal outcome. I think if a man works, he eats. If he doesn't work, he doesn't eat. That's what the Bible says, and I just kind of think the Bible's more right than man is. I read the names of people from a family book, a family tree book that my dad has at his house. And I found back in the early 1800s, there is a man that had the same name as mine, John Andrew Bloom. Boy, I thought, man, that is great. I know he must have been a handsome guy. But actually, I know nothing. No picture, no anything of him. I don't know the man. All I know is that there was somebody with that name in our family tree back in the early 1800s. Now, the problem with that is that another 150 years, if the rapture does not take place, which I believe that it will, but if there is another 150 years, someone 150 years from now will look back and maybe see our name and also think on us in terms of facts, but not a heart attachment. A friend of mine has very special memories. His memories are of his dad, a true memorial of Veterans Day, because he was buried alive on December 7th, 1941 in Pearl Harbor as his ship was sunk and he was in the bottom of that ship. He was just a boy. My dad over there, who's 93 years old, remembers that when he was just a boy, there was a man down the street from him who actually fought in the Civil War. And people from that era remember people that were born in the before the 1860s and knew people that knew the name of Lincoln in a more personal way, may have even seen him. And so you see things like that and you hear things like that and it's a wonderful thing, but the years have a way of erasing the memories. The memory of the personality and the person of the people who lived in and animated those bodies. We've had in our history men who have fought for and died for the ideals of this country, including the freedom to worship God in the name of Jesus Christ, whether it's in the privacy of the home or in the open air of the public domain. Also, the freedom to be a capitalistic society that gives one the freedom to expand his or her gifts. That has resulted in America being the most entrepreneurial nation in the world and perhaps in history. They fought for and died in the concern to do good unto all men. And as a result, America today sends missionaries around the world through its churches, carrying the gospel of the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, and may I add, Christ alone, that lost people around this world may avoid a sinner's hell and the eternal lake of fire. I like the way Henry Morris says it in one of his recent articles. He says, there is a great day coming, however, actually a period of time, called in the Bible the day of the Lord. Also, that day, the great day of His wrath, and other such terms, when all the heathen, that is all the Gentile nations, including the U.S., will be judged by the God who created them, who died to redeem them, and who has been repudiated by them. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness of and wrath of Almighty God. Revelation 19:15. Our own heathen nation has been spared thus far because of our biblical foundations, our care for God's people, Israel, our missionary efforts around the world. But these things are fast disappearing, and our time will surely come, because you cannot live on your past credits. It is a shame that when a terrorist who lives in wealth are allowed so many privileges in our country and they hate us and they cowardly attack us. You say, what do you think we ought to do about them? Get every one of them saved. Boy, I'd like to be down in Gitmo and have the gospel in their cells every day. Certainly would. I'm not wanting to kill them. I'm wanting to get them saved. But they hate us. They cowardly attack us. But I think it's equally a shame when political leaders fear to name it what it is, a terrorist attack. They won't name it. The liberal does. They won't say, well, like the Unabomber or the man that did it here just a couple years ago here in in Colorado with the movie house. You know, they had these liberal tendencies. Well, they didn't want to say anything about that. In Fort Hood, they didn't want to call the guy a terrorist. They still won't call him a terrorist. I'm saying all that just to say this. Our nation was built on blood. And that's important. But much more important than that, our Christian faith is built on blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The task of the spiritual work that is necessary for the revival of this troubled country. I say troubled because we're under the greatest moral attack of our history. The greatest attack against the family. These attacks threaten much more than any epidemic, plague, or war ever has. And the task in fighting this war is a great task. To be quite frank with you, it's beyond any of our human capabilities to fight this war. But with God, nothing is impossible. His power behind the task makes victory assured. However, we must walk in total committed thought, mind, body, and will to the will of God, losing our will in His. As we stated at the outset of this message, there were men who shed their blood at the beginning of this country, at the founding of this country. They did not do it in order for us to have a society in which children disrespect their parents and parents have to fear every time they spank their child, as the Bible tells them to do, that they might get arrested. Now, listen, I'm against taking a fist and hitting a child. But the Bible does teach us to spank the children. And not doing that has warped this country so terribly that it will take only the power of God to have revival. Today, in this country, nudity prevails, profanity prevails, and a hatred for God and country is taking over the curriculums of the schoolhouse. We have redefined liberty in this country for the freedom to do whatever is loose, lax, and licentious. Anything that is not responsible, anything that is not moral, anything that is not pure freedom in government, it seems like that has made an all-out attack on the morals and the families of this country. And it's unfortunate and extremely deadly that so many of our Christian evangelical churches today redefine salvation as men redefine freedom. Today, they're trying to redefine freedom in our country is to do anything that's immoral. They want to legalize homosexual marriage. They want to go ahead and knock off babies over a million a year, every year. They want to go ahead and murder them in any way they can. And they're redefining liberty and freedom. But the church is doing a worse job when they're telling you that all you got to do is believe. Don't worry about this thing, repentance. You can live like you want to. And now they apply liberty and grace to the flesh to say you're free to do this that is vile and vain. Instead of telling us that we're freed from the power of those things. The Bible is not a living document that changes with the times. It is the Word of God that is unchanging and the just judge who is unchanging. And we must consider the plan of God. He came to save men from their sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says it very plainly. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he, not Mary, for he, not our good works, for he, not our church, for he, that is Jesus, shall save his people from their sins. And notice, he said from their sins, not to sin. Great difference. In Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Do you realize that in a majority of English translations today, they remove from Colossians 1:14 through His blood? But they say we don't take out anything that's important. The blood of Jesus is not important. What's going on? And do you realize that in the overwhelming majority of texts, through His blood is in there, and the only ones that's not in are the ones that are corrupted text. It belongs in there. We don't get forgiveness without the blood of Jesus Christ, my friend. In 1 Peter 1:23, been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This word was not only God-breathed word by word, it is preserved word by word. You can trust anything you read in it from Genesis to Revelation. It is the word of God preserved for us in English. It's in the King James Bible, but really, you go back to the Textus Receptus of the Greek and the Masoretic text of the Hebrew from which this came, in which we have the overwhelming amount of evidence. We have the Word of God. We just need to believe it and live it. In Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47, he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission, remission has the idea of forgiveness. The repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Sometime ago, I was listening to a preacher that said that he believed that repentance dealt only for saved people. Isn't that strange? Take this gospel to all nations of the world and preach repentance, but only to saved people. My friend, God wants man to repent. Not do penance, repent. And repent has the idea of this. It says, God, I'm a sinner. Oh, I know I'm a sinner, and I can't do a thing about it. I try to quit, but yet I end up doing worse. Lord, I can't do it, but you can. I'm willing for you to take my sin from me. I want to turn to the Savior. I want to surrender to Him. You see, without that, no one goes to heaven. Now, again, we remember those men in our country's history that died and shed their blood. They didn't do it so that we'd be a morally bankrupt and corrupting nation. Can Christians stop what has happened today in morals just simply by being not quite as bad as they are? No. 1,000 times no. It is time to quit supporting their theaters. He said, well, we only go to watch Disney. Oh, great. You're helping them to support one of the biggest contributors to the gay movement. And many of the underlying themes of their movies showing that what you believe from the Bible, they believe is wrong. That's all we go to. It's time to quit. It's time to quit financing the businesses that support that as well. It's time to quit being so sensual in the dress style. It's a lack of respect for God. It's time to quit making church a place of nightclub entertainment. If that's the kind of music and stuff that you want, go to the nightclub. The ones that are doing it in church are the guys that couldn't make it in the nightclub. Churches have to quit cutting down its days and times in order to fit the convenience of the people and their recreation. And let me add this. It's time to quit coming to church as if God is throwing a pajama party. He's not. It's time to respect God once again in the church. But what about the remembrance of God's memorial? Our text said, do this in remembrance of me. Just as we remember our fallen heroes in America. And I remember guys I went to high school with that are now buried, that fought and died in Vietnam. Some of you had friends in Korea. Some of you had friends from the World War II that got killed in those eras. Some in the Gulf Wars that have occurred since. But what I'm saying to you is this. That's very important blood, but the most important memorial that we have is the blood of Jesus Christ. Because it's through that blood that our sins are cleansed. And it's through that blood that we have the promise of everlasting life. Romans 3:8, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm, that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. Those that say, yeah, just let the churches go ahead and get as corrupt and worldly as they can be. Paul said, some people are saying that about us. And he says, that's slanderous. And people that say that and people that do that deserve the eternal damnation from God. I call that strong language, don't you? That's very strong. They were in that day. See, it's not a new thing today. In that day, there were those that were saying it's all right to fulfill the flesh. Evil may bring something good along. A rock concert may make them want the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ from that sin. How pathetic. 1 Corinthians 15:42-44 says this. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. You see, there is a difference between light and darkness. And then verses 53-57 says this, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The sting of death. You realize somebody who dies without Christ notices and knows what the sting of death is. They may not know it till then, but the sting of death is this. In this mortal body, we feel pain. If, lady, you're there cooking and your hand touches a hot pan, a burner, it hurts. It hurts bad. You fall or you break some bones, it hurts. You get scrapes, it hurts. The body that goes to hell will be forever in hell. Your spirit is enclosed in that body, and that body in hell will feel all the pain, all the sorrow, all everything that can happen. What a literal fire is to us right now, touching our skin, it'll be as bad or worse in hell. Tormented day and night forever and ever. That is eternal corruption. That's why we don't call it eternal life. Even though they live forever, we don't call it eternal life. It is eternal corruption, eternal mortality. It's only in Christ that when you die, you can say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? I'm in Jesus Christ. I'm going to put on from this mortal body immortality. From this corruptible body, incorruption, and I'll be fashioned like unto His glorious body. And Jesus wants to cleanse you from sin. We read in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. From all sin, not to sin. Salvation, grace, was never a license to sin. I hate it when people corrupt the memorial of our country, of our country's heroes. I hate it worse when they corrupt the blood of Jesus Christ by ignoring His call to repent. And this morning, there are Christians. You need to turn from the worldliness and quit supporting worldliness and quit financing all the evil that's going on in this country through your supporting those that support it. Number two, it needs to go beyond that to where we as Christians are giving ourselves to prayer and fasting for revival. First in us, our church. our country. And then thirdly, we can no longer think on how to draw a crowd. Rather, we must concentrate on having the power of God to lead a soul from darkness to light. That is to lead him to Jesus Christ, who is the light. You see, America must be one by one. Jesus designed it that way, and it's still that way. They're not one by being entertained with a religious rock concert or a psychiatric convention. They need the Word of God. And they need it now. It's not unusual for me to hear this. We're leaving because we can't spiritually thrive here. I've heard that over the years. And if your heart is set in that rock and roll, if your heart is set in being entertained, anything psychological, if your heart is set in anything that is Calvinistic or any of those things, you won't thrive spiritually here, because we thrive spiritually according to the Word of God. That's all we do. We sing as it ought to be sung, and then we preach the Bible. We go, most of our sermons are verse by verse. If you can't thrive spiritually, that the kind of spirit you want to thrive in is not of the Bible or of God. Now, our number one thing is that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Know Him as your Savior. My friend, if you're not sure if you died today that heaven's your home, make sure today. Make sure that today is the day that you come to Jesus Christ and you receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Won't you do it now? Let's bow our heads, please. Father, I pray as we get ready to sing this hymn of invitation, I pray that, Lord, the one that raised their hand for salvation, I pray, Lord, that you'd just love that soul to the point that they would want to come here and receive the Savior. I pray for that one that's wandered from you, Lord. I pray that today would be a time to come home. I pray, Father, for others that have spiritual needs that would be met to this time, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.